Thank you so much for joining us today on another edition of The Family Essence. This is a program designed by God to educate us all as a family. I want to welcome you once again to the program, The Family Essence. This program is designed to give hope to our generation, the hope of eternal life, and to share the love of Jesus, the love of God, to humanity. As part of what we do is to educate ourselves as a family of God and to acquaint ourselves with the way God wants us to live on earth, so as to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to rapture his saints and take them with him to heaven at the end. Thank you once again for joining us, and I would want us to, of course, say a prayer, and then we'll look into what we have as a subject before us today. And then I'm trusting God that our attendance today will be enriched, and at the end of the day, we would have been educated about what God wants to share with us today. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes as we pray. Father, we thank you for making it possible for us to be gathered together today. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit to instruct us and to educate us about our living. Now we pray that you will speak to our hearts and life today in Jesus' name. Now we want to thank you for the gift of life you've given unto us and making it possible for us to be gathered together today. Now, your word says in Psalm 119 verse 130 that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding unto the simple. Lord, we pray that you will share light through your word, through your Holy Spirit to us, and you will instruct us through your word as pilgrims on earth. Lord, we pray that your word will change our lives for good in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for now it is done. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much once again for joining us. This is Family Essence. Well, we'll be looking at a very important subject before us on Family Essence, which of course talks about the different aspects of things that is happening around us and point us to the right direction on how to navigate in this present world and what is expected of us as pilgrims here on earth. Yesterday I had to take a walk around the park, and while we were kind of walking around the park, we noticed a few things. I think a can on the floor, which must have been dropped by someone, either knowingly or unknowingly, I don't know, but you would find out that there are different things in the park, and you know, the entrance to the park comes with a kind of instruction to the users of the park, telling them the do's and don'ts, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do, and all that. And the same rules basically applies to anywhere you're visiting, probably tourist centers for tourists who would be visiting and the users who will be using the tourist center. There are a set of rules and instructions being given to them. For instance, if you go to a zoo, you would have instruction that probably don't touch the cage of the animals. Okay, don't feed them with you know, their specific food that you can feed them with in case you want to feed them. There are basically instructions on how that actually guide the tourist on how to, you know, go about doing things in the zoo, either at the park or anywhere we find ourselves. So the Lady Foundation, I mean, the subject before us will be pointing to individuals, families, and the church as well, telling us some basic rules that should guide our lives to avoid the different corruptions that goes around that corrupts the human seed, basically. So the topic before us is the polluted temple and altars, the polluted temple and altars. So when you look at the Bible talks about our body being the temple of the Lord, of God, basically, and it's not meant to be polluted. But we find out at this age and time, there are different things that actually that may corrupt an individual or a family or a church. And this starts from not being careful on how we go about doing things and guiding our lives with an instruction from God and the laid down rules. So in the kingdom of God, there are rules and regulation, and God wants us to stick to these rules. And if we violate any of these laws, we will become corrupted. And then we find that in different, in this age of time, we talk about rules that guides the home, but of course, neglect the rules that guides the church. So we will be looking at a few passages of scriptures to point us in the right direction, and then we'll consider some other aspect of things that could basically corrupt our lives and make us unpresentable to Christ at his coming. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 16 to 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll read from here, and I want to believe that we have our Bibles on our phones, electronic Bible there, and we can turn into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 to 17. It says there, sorry, one moment here. I have to refresh this one. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Okay, it says there, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So this is Paul the Apostle speaking to the church at Corinth, educating them about how the way they ought to coordinate themselves and the way they needed to present themselves at all times before God. And they need to be mindful of what they do, not to be corrupted by the pollutions of the world. And of course, when we talk about the polluted temple, that talks about an individual. It talks about an individual, the way you guard yourself, the way where you go, what you watch with your eyes, you know, the people you relate with, and all that. There are things that could corrupt the human seed, which talks about us. Now, a child begins to inherit corruption, for instance, once they start disobeying the laws of God and the laws of his parents, basically. The parent is meant to guide, to instruct, and to say, okay, in this house, this is how you do. This is what you watch, and this is where you go. And all. In case the child start disobeying the rules of the home, disobeying the parents, and thinks that because God has placed the parent as spiritual head, and then if the child goes against, probably you instruct the child, don't take that sweet, don't do this, don't do. If the child begins to disobey that law, that there is the child begins to inherit a form of corruption, basically, and it will lead to some other kind of corruption that the child won't, if not repentant, would not be able to come clean before God. So a spouse as well begins to inherit corruptions once they start disobeying the rules of marriage, basically. So the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and then you find yourself probably, you know, doing some things that are against the rules of the marriage, basically. You start that individual start inheriting corruption. It's that inheriting the pollutions of the world, and then that kind of person needs to be purged, and that kind of person needs to repent, so as to escape, so as to be able to be presentable before Christ at the end of time. So a church likewise begins to inherit corruptions once the priests begin to disobey God's commandments. The priest is meant to be the headship in a local church. Now, once the priest, which will maybe the pastor or whoever, maybe the reverend or whoever is in charge of the church, basically. Once the person begins to disobey God's commandments, either in his marriage or in his personal life or in any other form, that person begins to inherit corruption, basically. So you remember when Jesus Christ drove the people selling doves and pigeon and all the money changers and all part of the temple. Now, this is an example of what our body is and how important that is to God. So we do not live we don't live based on the way we perceive things. We live based on how God wants us to live our lives. We are obligated to God as individuals. So there is a way the kingdom functions. There are rules that guides the kingdom. There are things that it expected of us to do as pilgrims here on earth. The book of John chapter 2 in verse 15 to 17 talks about, back up to verse 13 of St. John chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. In verse 15, and when he had made a scourge of small cord, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and over trio their tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. So in other words, the temple that people worship actually has been converted to a money making, you know, machine and all that, and there are different people who comes to that church to sell oranges, to change money, and to do all sort of transactions. So that's what we find out in the set of churches that we have today. Even in the family, we find out that people don't care about the rules that guides marriage, the rules that, so they flaunt these rules, they break these rules, and then their life is indescribable. And you look at some set of family and you begin to, they can't even, individuals cannot, you know, channel the course of his life. You see someone living a life and you begin to wonder, does this person have is this person from a family? Did this person actually got the right education from him? Is he raised by the, you know, by by his or her parents, and you begin to ask questions, and you know the society is in chaos, and the different families are experiencing traumas and troubles and all that, and there are a lot of things going on, and you know Jesus Christ is trying to set the record straight here. Make not the house of my Father a house of merchandise. So that means you cannot just transact any kind of business with your body. You cannot just do anything you like with your body. In this world, we are only obligated, we are obligated to God. And what we do, if we are obligated to God and we listen to God, it begins to give us the command, it will begin to get different commandments on how to live our lives, on how to, you know, how to do things, basically. Because in this world, we are pilgrims. We don't, if anybody comes to you and tell you, well, I'm living large, I'm okay, and all that, you know, and this person is not born again, is not converted, doesn't even know God. I assure you, this person doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't. Though they might, you know, live in a large house, you know, have some money in the bank and all that, but you don't know how to live your life until you give your life to Christ. You don't know. You might have a big box in the bank. You might, you know, have fleets of cars and all that. But I tell you, those are vain if you do not know Christ. What Christ does is to shape your life. Perhaps you sat down and then you get paid a certain amount of money. There's a way God wants you to spend that money. God can say, okay, maybe you are strolling down at the park one day, and then, or a thought just came to your mind. All right, you know the neighbor on your street, that neighbor there, that 15-year-old child needs to pay for a school fee, needs to write an exam. Out of the money you just got, I need you to remit so amount of money to that person. Just gift the person that money. You don't need to know what the person does with the money, but ask. So in the kingdom of God, God begins to educate you on how to live your life, on how to navigate your life, on what to do, and how to go about, you know, experiencing the life of the kingdom. So, when we come to the church, we'll begin to see different things as well that, you know, happens in the church. And there are a lot of people, there are a few, you know, so-called ministers of God that squanders God's resources because they feel the church of God is a place, is a money-making tent, and they can, you know, do what they like and all that. And you begin to find out that there are different, they themselves are corrupted. And then the altar likewise is already corrupted. So there can't be anything that God wants to do in those kind of gatherings because the Spirit of God would not be present there. So we see this pollution of temples and all that. It talks about the temple of our body, according to John chapter 2 here, verse 15, basically where Christ was instructing them in the temple and to drive them out. And then, you know, they are still wondering, what is this person doing? Chasing everybody out of the temple. Because those who are supposed to be the custodian of the church, of the same place of worship, have converted the place and collecting tolls and money from those that are selling as a kind of, you know, making merchandise of the place. So there are different things that, if we are not careful, could pollute our mind, could pollute the temple, which is the temple of God, which is our body. There are different things. The devil uses legitimate things, such as your mobile phone, could be the corruption that a man would inherit, basically. It could be as legitimate as a phone is, for instance, you use it. I mean, with phone, you can reach somewhere, anybody around the world. With phone, you can get information. You can, as good as it is, it could be the way you will inherit corruption, if not used the way it should be used. And you see that some people slipped into pornography, some people slipped into different kind of hacks, basically, that are ungodly through the mobile phone. And once a corruption started eating into the human mind and then through the human body, God departs from that kind of vessel. He does not want anything to do with it. You would remember as well from the book of in the beginning, when, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, when he created man in the garden and all that, and you know, man disobeyed and God had to quickly kick them out of the garden because I don't want any further corruption here. So he had to let them go. He had to tell them to take their leave. And that was the same thing that happens with Lucifer. Lucifer was meant to be a guardian angel to guide the glory of God from the mercy seat, basically. If you look at the Ark of Covenant, you see this design there. There are two of them, but the Bible only made us understood that, you know, make emphasis on the devil, which is one of the guardian cherub, basically, that guides the mercy seat. So when he started inheriting the corruption, pollution, he had to be kicked out, because God does not, for you to avoid further corruption, because if care is not taken, he's going to corrupt a lot of things there in heaven, and, you know, it won't be good. God had to tell him to leave. You have to leave. So the same thing. Different things actually makes a man inherit corruption, makes a family inherit corruption, makes a church inherit corruption. And this pollution is not limited to anything at all. Through your phones, a good paying job, friendship, hairstyle, gold, positions, inheritance, associations, wealth, recognition, fashion, TV, and several gifts and other legitimate things, basically. And someone talked about, you know, pollution as being sleeping with someone's wife, or having a girlfriend and sleeping together, or touching unclean things and all that. No, it's not limited to that. There are any, you can, a man, if not careful, can inherit corruption from different, anywhere at all. You can inherit corruption from doing a business. Doing a business is good, but if care is not taken, you can start, you know, changing figures and start, you know, going into fraud and start doing some things. I mean, even with a job, with positions and all that, you find different job posting, and then maybe you're in a cater and you feel, well, that job at the top, I think I need to be there and all that. I don't care who goes down and all that. And then because you have been in a position for 10 years, you feel you can just, you know, ride on anybody. And then it could be a corruption. Because you want that position, you can decide, well, I don't care if the CEO wants my body. I can give my body. We'll worry about that later. I don't. So there are different levels. As good as a job is, you can inherit corruption from that. You can inherit corruption from friendship, even a style, anything at all. So these are legitimate things that comes to us naturally, but if care is not taken, if not handled properly, we can inherit corruption from those sources. So he's saying, Paul the Apostle is saying that our body is the temple of God. Before an altar gets polluted, it starts from the body. It starts from the individual, it starts from the mind. It starts from, you know, before a family inherits corruption and everything, you can't even put the piece together. You can't bring them all together. You know, they begin to fight, it starts from an individual. The person would just revolt against, you know, disobedient to parents and all that, and is saying, you know, and then you decide, I'm going to do away with this family name. I'm going to start my own family. I'm going to make my first name the last name, and I'm going to build a family. I will travel to a different country. And then the person start living, the person start living the way in the opposite direction of what God intended. So we need to be careful, and we need to look within ourselves. Where exactly have we inherited corruption? As individuals, as a family, as a church, as a priest, as probably a reverend, whatever position you find yourself, right? So the nature of evil and corruption, the nature of pollution of the temple is to possess clean vessels. So it's not a matter of, well, don't worry, I'm okay. Corruption cannot find me. Pollution, I can't be polluted. I can't. If you don't look for corrupt, if you don't, it will look for you. So you need to start re-examining your life, which is the essence of today's subject, the polluted temples and altars. So where has your temple been polluted? Where have you inherited corruption? Is it from the new job you just got, or from the new position, or from the new friendship association that you keep? Where exactly has that corruption crept in into your life? And then you begin to ask yourself, why am I like this? Where am I right now? I can't even describe my life. It's all messed up based on the friendship, based on the TV show I'm watching, based on the fashion, you know, based on the gift I just got, based on inheritance I just possess, the wealth and the business I'm doing, and this new phone I just got, this new iPad I just got has led me astray. And you begin to, you need to start looking within yourself and start asking yourself those questions. Have you inherited corruption so far? And perhaps you've been corrupted a long time ago. This is the time to come to Christ. This is the time to come to Christ. He's able to cleanse everything, forgives all your iniquity. As long as you are sincere within your mind that you want to start living according to His commandments, you want to make your body His own temple. He's the one that knows how to make and mold your life and shape your life the way God intended. Christ is the standard. He's the one that modeled the life of God and how God wants us to live here on earth. So Paul, the apostle, is saying your temple is the body of God. You don't have to, you know, mess up your body before you get that thing you want to get, before you secure that same thing you want to secure, before so many things happens, right? So this is the time to come to Christ. So if you have decided to come to Christ, I would pray with you, and then the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. Okay, what God wants is a sincere heart. If you are sincere and you're ready to come to Christ today, he is willing, he has an open hands. And then as long as you are sincere with your heart, in your heart, that you want to start living a newness of life, and you want to escape from the pollution of the world, you want to escape from the corruption of the world, God is able to save and to deliver you. I need you to bow down your heads as we pray together. I need you to start talking to Jesus, confessing your sins, and then asking Him to forgive you, no matter the long list that you have, no matter the corruption that have crept into your life and has polluted you, and the altar of the church as well is polluted. I need you to start talking to Jesus and start, you know, asking God for forgiveness, that, oh God, I've done this, please forgive me with a sincere heart. And then I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. I need you to accept me again, you know, and make up your mind not to go back to those sins again. Make up your mind not to go back to that thing that you were doing before. Make up your mind to not go back to those things. And the grace of God is available as well to make you overcome the challenges and the corruptions that has crept into your life. The grace of God is available to make you overcome those things. God is able to empower you. The grace of Christ is sufficient for you to be able to overcome those things, those sins. And I pray that God will intervene and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. I'll be praying with you right now. Bow down your heads as we pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the love, your love to humanity, sending your Son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, oh God, that as many that have inherited corruption one way or the other, either in their job, in the friendship and association they keep, through their phones, they've slipped into different kind of evil. Basically, I need you to please kindly forgive them their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness in Jesus' name. As they are sincere in your hearts to accept your Son Jesus into their lives, Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus will cleanse them and will wash them whiter than snow in Jesus' name. Give them the grace and the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. Write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as many that are willing, that are saying they do not want to inherit any further corruption again, give them the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for now it is done. Make your grace available today in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.